trying for a few summers to blubber, insult him and stuff, but it's getting so expensive to tan, and not too many people are licensed to tan northern fur seal.
Ask Dennis, mechanic in St. Church. There's a place where he sends it up north.
Is that Shishmaref?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure where, but he does send, he used to send skins out to let them do it for him.
Okay, yeah.
They like, when I don't know if they're still in operation. They were doing, when Karen Holzer was here and getting Dieter and Yaya David blubbering skins, Shishmaref would take, with no money exchange, they would take, if you gave them 50, they would keep 25, and then you get 25. And then you didn't have to pay them to tan it. There was this one guy outside of Anchorage that had this whole operation. He had the license, and he was really trying to find someone. He was elder, trying to find someone to take it over and buy it from him. And he did some really nice tanning of fur seal pelts, too. I forget what his name was. Yeah, but he just, I mean, I don't know that anybody bought it. Might have just given up.
Where they used to send the seal skins, I wonder if that's on record how they did it, huh?
Folk fur?
Yeah. I just wonder about
apparently
that.
They patented the recipe and own it and never gave it to anybody. So that one behind you is not plucked, but the backside, the pelt side is black. But yeah. You know, folk fur, they figured out a way to still have a natural color on the inside. And these other places they never figured out how to do that. Everything they did would be totally black, even the skin side.
Yeah, the one I got is a natural.
Yeah. Canadian company it was trying it for a while, I think, when TDX was first trying to get into taking it over from the government. There was a fashion show in here one time with furs from that company.
Wasn't that company stationed in, what, South Carolina or something?
The folk fur?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one guy that came up here in, I think it was 1996. I have to count because I think when he said 40 years ago I was here, I think it was 56. And he came here because one of his buddies, high school buddies, parents was maybe a head person in folk fur company and got him a job up here. So they came up here and they lived in that, what was the TDX office, the annex, and they were told not to mix and mingle with the local people. They basically went right to the processing plant and went right back, and once in a while they'd go on rides. And he remembered somebody that was working in the kitchen, but he said, man, when I came here for 4 years all through my high school working, and when I left here he was like I'm never gonna go back there again. And he said, but for 40 years I've thought about this place, and I told my wife last year, maybe 95 or so, we got to go back and visit. I can't stop thinking about that place. So they came as tourists here in 1996. And he was surprised that we didn't have like a museum or something that showed how it was all done. But at that time, Dieter and David were blubbering skins behind staff quarters. And so he pulled out a blubber beam and he wanted to remember what it felt like to be behind a blubbering skins. Had his picture taken by it. And like, it'd be nice to have a little setup and have people take their picture, blubbering knife by blubbering beam. Think about that when the boats here come here, and if Dieter were outside by his house, put out a little can.
Pretty much almost all the ladies that worked down in wash house, I got them to blubber.
Oh yeah,
teaching them how to do it.
Yeah, everybody from Z.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah.
You were there when Marvy and Baba were working there too.
Yeah, the Mellow.
Yeah.
Or I remember Marvy dropping that blubber pit.
Oh.
Walking backwards, slipped and come out of the blubber.
It was poor and funny. Yeah. You were there when they shifted from barrels to the boxes, or was
just
it boxes?
Boxing, just that first year.
Mm, yeah. There were barrels the first year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boxes, after that 250 in each box.
Yeah. And how much in the barrels again?
80.
Hmm. 80 in the barrels, 250,
even that one had to teach guys how to put those boxes together.
Hmm.
And then, but they used to let three of us do it together too, and I said, Tom, Feedy and Scordino, hey, I could do this myself. These guys could work somewhere else. So I end up working by myself lots. Mm-hmm. After we get done blubbering, make boxes. That was good. Didn't have to see anybody or...
Did those get made upstairs too?
Yeah, then we used cork to bring them back.
Yeah.
Bring them down.
And those, they had to put plastic in.
Yeah, liner.
But not the barrels.
Yeah, not the barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go from blubbering... When you get done with blubbering, then they'd let a lot of us guys do kinching, take that blubber and lay it out and cover it with salt. And then after that, they put us different place. Like one of them, I end up doing the boxes. And then some of us help even with, barreling the skins or boxing them.
Hmm.
And then the other one's Brian. Soakum and Brian, they put us there too. So they take us blubbering guys, put us all over.
Mm.
So, but I end up working everywhere.
Yeah.
Evenings, we always have to come in the evenings and weekends and rotate the skins in the brine.
In the tanks.
Yeah. They always roll up, so it's, so you have to be there, roll them out, flatten them out again.
Yeah. And they got soaked in one night? Or how long were they in those tanks?
Seemed like most time was 3 days.
3 days? Well, I didn't know that much.
Yeah. Actually, on weekends, that's the one that's Friday and take them out Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the skins, we rotate tanks. Yeah. Normally, I take a day then.
Yeah.
Day and a half.
Victor Gordieff worked in the brine shed.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah. Yep. Remember, we would run in and jump, run up the sacks and run out. The sacks piled up in there, salt.
I remember they always had the ladies do that, so I always had to work with them, supervise them. I remember telling them, don't let those pull you, because they use long stick, like 6 foot stick with hook on and grab the skin if you see it rolled up. Oakham or Quirk got pulled into that brine tank. She didn't let go. I holler at her. I watched her do it too. Hey, let go. She did. She said that just pulled her right in. Boy, I got scared because, how you can get her out by myself.
So it's heavy water, salty. Yeah. All those skins.
Might go below, sink between the skins, can't find her. That was in the evening.
Yeah. I forgot she worked there, too.
But I always tell them, all of them, don't let it pull you. Let the stick go, Don't worry about it.
Because it's turning.
It's rotating pretty good, pretty fast.
Wow. Now, those were cement tanks.
Yeah.
And the wooden.
No,
they were wood.
They were wooden ones.
Yeah.
Were they
metal in or cement in St. George?
St. George was.
That's where I remember the cement ones. Yeah. They're still in place over there. And one of them from here is out at Poss Camp, I think. One of the big wooden ones. Yeah. Hmm. How long was that machine in operation that blubbered the skins? Was it even 3 years?
All the way up to when TDX did it for those 3 years.
Okay. But starting from when? Late 70s, maybe? 78, 77? I don't think they were used too long. had to be latter part of the 70s, right?
I don't even know.
So you said when you came over here they were using it.
Yeah.
So 76?
Two machines. One did the head and then the other one did the body.
Yeah. Running through. Logan was there. Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like 76, okay. 76, 77, 78, 98. So yeah, not even 10 years though. And it stopped.
Because when TDX was doing it, I didn't do the blood ring, I did the machine.
That was 84.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
The two rollers they would squeeze.
Yeah, squeeze the water off. Yeah. Before they hang them, take them to the blood ring. Squeeze off a lot of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Make it drier. I don't know why you don't want it too dry, because that's when you rip the skins.
Yeah. How deep are the tanks when they brought them back from the killing field and put the skins through the window?
Probably like 3.5 feet on.
Okay.
They weren't deep.
Salt water.
Yeah.
There was, I was just reading a book about Nikolsky, and one of those guys was talking about coming up here and building, staying here longer and putting in the pipes to get water into the pelt processing plant. I don't remember which year. I don't know if he said which year it was, but it's nice to see.
A lot of those pumps that worked on changing them, they give out, so they call us on weekend. Especially a lot of times, it seemed like it was happening on weekend. So I have to go over there and pull the old one out and put new one in.
Yeah.
Right by the old power plant used to be, that's where the pumps were.
Yeah. That building is still there,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Those pumps probably don't, they're not connected to anything.
No,
probably
no all power.
The pipes, everything
yeah.
is gone. Yeah. Wow.
But you pump it from the salt water. See.
Mm-hmm. They used to have that, what was it called? It was like a seawall outside of A dorm.
Yeah.
And the water ran from the wash house right down in there under that wall. I can remember the smell. Blood, like that wasn't as bloody though as water coming out of byproducts plant on the other side. That's where we used to wade as kids, and there's blood going through the water, seal blood. Wow. So, when you think about now, after the whole, all those years of being here and all those changes you've seen, you have any, concerns? You ever wonder what's next?
That's the only thing I worry about, what's next now.
Yeah.
But to me, my whole working career was good for me here.
Yeah.
One thing I look back at it, ever since high school, I've always done things my way.
Mm-hmm.
So even my work was like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good.
Yeah.
My working career.
Yeah, being able to do that and, yeah.
I mean, it's because of the, willing to work alone, don't screw around, all the bosses see that.
Yeah.
So. And even in Edgecombe, it followed me.
Yeah.
And then when I went to my school in Seattle, the instructor saw that too. He put me with the kids. They always had high school students come to our class, and I was one working with them.
Because
you would say, you're good with them. You never tell them, you're like showing them.
Yeah.
Let them figure.
Yeah.
We did like hour and a half classroom, and then rest of the time we're out in the field.
Yeah. Hmm. What do you think will happen here?
I don't even know. I don't want to speculate either.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of these youngsters moving out.
Yeah.
It's like even my kids don't want to come back because they feel like there's no work for them here.
Yeah. My son Damien comes and goes, but he'll I think maybe when talking about Monique and the Monty moving down to the Shane house. And I said, yeah, I think Jason is considering moving and selling his house. And Damien was like, think I should get a house here?
Yeah, the only one that asked me is Mike Baldwin's boy.
Shane?
Yeah, he said, keep me in mind.
Yeah.
I should tease him next time. Tell him, hey, you take this house, that boat, and that shed all for $150.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to tell my neighbor that too. How come you didn't buy my house? You buy the house down there, you're going to have to spend $80,000 to fix it up. You buy my house, you're going to have to spend $10,000 to put your touch on it. That's the difference.
I told their son, Vlad, the house, the blueprint or the footprint is the same here. You just put your bed in the same spot down at that other house.
Because I always pick on, Jerry and Marbara by house out there, John Henry. I always tell them, you guys are still living in somebody's house.
Yeah.
You know, you have to remodel it, make it your house.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I did to this one. So.
Yep.
The only thing I say this house needs is a new furnace. That's still original.
Oh, wow, it is, huh?
Yeah. Runs good.
Yeah. Is it the same for all of those houses?
No.
They changed out theirs?
Mike Z's, I think, is the same, but Simeon, he put a boiler in.
Oh, okay. Still right in the middle.
Yeah.
That spot, too. Yeah. I've never been in the basement of the house you're in, but I remember playing with Carol and Barbara in the basement. Simeon and Justina were there.
Yeah, everybody that has a basement, I feel like out of all of mine is the one that's open. No rooms down there.
Oh, wow.
It's all open.
Yeah. And when they were building those HUD houses, my dad's like, young families are going to be living there. When you live out here, you should have a house, and you have kids, you should have a house with basement. Felt bad for them not having basements up in those HUD houses.
Yeah, like I said, we lucked out with this one. No one ever tried for it. We did.
Yeah. Yep. Good thing you did. And first ones, too, with NBA, getting the loan.
And then your brother was right after, about 6 months later, for that house up there.
Yeah.
I know, because I have fax machine. For some reason, all this paperwork was going through our fax. I had to take all this big pile of...
up to his place. I forget when Thomas and I bought the house 22 here. We went through some program out of Bethel or Dillingham, I want to say, to get a loan. And at that time, my Krasna Lud Kashivarov, we bought it for $25,000 in 1981, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, how many of these, today people know these are all concrete houses on this south side.
Yeah.
They're just covered with T111.
Yep. I don't know what to do. We have stuff in it now. I think about just tearing it down if we wanted to start something anew. But I don't know. Right now it's just storing stuff for, we're not finished working on our house.
State is one that did that to these houses. Weatherization.
Yeah.
And I helped work with that.
Those windows were horrible that they put in.
Metal windows?
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed that in St. George too.
Yeah. It's horrible. It's like mildew and...
when they get really cold, ice build up on the inside. Yeah.
I tell Phil, we got to finish our house before I get Alzheimer's. I'm not going to know where I'm living. I'm going to not know where this is because I don't recognize it if it's all finished. Say, we live in the projects. So, looking back, I it was good to hear you talk about your life and times on the Pribilof Islands. What would you say now, you know now about like living a happy, successful life? If you had to tell somebody what it takes to do that.
Hard work.
Back. Yeah. We must be from the same family.
It's everything like you want, you have to work for. Yeah. Nothing comes handed to you.
Right.
Plus, earning it is better anyway. When yeah. You're means more.
I was wondering, I thought more about that. I finished reading this book about Nikolsky, and there was this guy. It was at the end of this book, Larry Cherkasian, and he said that he lived in Nikolsky till he was 13, but he said, everything I learned about hard work, I learned as a child that I took with me everywhere I went after that. But that's where I learned it. So.
Yeah, there's no shortcuts.
No. My parents my dad being a priest, say, you want money, or you want things, you got to work for them. No handouts here.
Yeah, I was telling my kids there's two sides to everything. You work hard and you play hard. Mm-hmm. You can't do one without the other.
Yeah.
You can't do one more than the other. It'll never work. You got to keep them the same. Mm-hmm. You work too much, you get burned out. You can't have fun.
Yeah.
You play too much, you have no money to have that fun.
Yeah.
So I was telling you got to have balance. Keep them together. Got to be the same. Always believe that.
Yeah. And especially, I think, I always feel like this place, being here has been, it's been worth it working for this place. Doing the work it stays to be here.
Me too. I like my work career here. It was good. Yeah. I liked it. I just want to do something different now that I'm retired. Yeah. That's why I say I want to, you know, retire and move.
Yeah.
Because I used to see myself. I said, see those old people over there sitting down having coffee? Ah, that's me. I used to tell my family, my wife, that. I want to do that.
You have any regrets?
No.
Oh. Yeah.
No.
My only regret is I didn't go to Hollywood. Just kidding. I tease the kids. We do with the language work sometimes, trying to get them to be animated, and they're just very, it's like, well, you guys wouldn't make it in Hollywood.
Back in mid-90s, I went on vacation in Hawaii with my wife. I happened to be carrying my iPad with me on one of our tours. There was about 18 of us on a tour. Once the people found out we're from here in Alaska, they're more interested in Alaska than Hawaii. That tour guy was getting mad. They wanted to see the pictures and hear what we had to say.
Uh-huh.
There were people from Europe, Massachusetts, Seattle. But they were from all over.
Yeah.
And they were more interested in Alaska than Hawaii.
You should have said, you want to hear about the Hawaiian Islands of the North?
That's what we did. Alicia said, they're the northern Galapagos. Uh-huh. And you're on the southern one here.
Yeah.
Alicia said.
Cool. So Alicia didn't grow up here.
No.
Yeah.
No, she came visit her grandma one summer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw her, she was coming off the plane I was leaving on. I liked her, and 6 months later, I called her up.
Cool. Here?
Yeah.
Was she still here then?
No. That following mm-hmm. summer she came. She came 2 summers from, rather, with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw her in September when she's leaving. I call her April, rather. Yeah, she was still here.
Yeah.
Her second year. It's a funny thing, too. I knew her grandma before I knew her. I used to go to their place, and she was always nice to me. And she knew my grandma down Seattle, giving her rides.
Hmm.
She used to give my grandma rides a lot down Seattle.
Yeah. Which side of her family? Which grandma?
No, my grandma, Elizabeth.
They would give rides for...
Alicia gave her rides.
Oh, okay.
When they were living down there.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Back in
1980-81. Yeah.
I never knew that. Well, I mean, we didn't know that until like 5 years after we met each other.
Yeah.
Hey, we knew each other grandmas.
magic of grandmas. I remember your grandma had a birthmark on her arm, and it was really nice and round and dark blue. Not brown like some of our birthmarks are. And she said, do you know how I got this? When I was out berry picking, Ilari dropped a berry and it went there and it stuck. And I believed her, like, trying to...
Yeah, the first time, early 80s, when I first visited them down there, she promised me a Polaroid land camera, 70s model. Yeah, she never gave it to me. 6 years later when I visited, hey, I promise you camera, she brought it up right away and gave it to me. Still works.
Wow.
It still takes better pictures than the newer Polaroids.
Huh.
It's sharper.
Uh-huh. Yep. They don't make them like they used to. Just like that radio from 79, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Susie and Agafangel gave my dad a radio that we had just in our kitchen for a long time. Listened to Alicia on KUHB probably from when it started. And I don't know what happened to it. It's like, I think I had it up through even like 5 or 6 years ago with our renovating and storing some stuff away. I don't know what I did with it. Same with there's a couple other things from our kitchen when we dismantled it and took all the walls and ceiling, and it was just bare everything. Dida, Stephanie's son, was little. We hired him to go crawl up in the attic to take wire all the way to the corner. When we moved stuff back, we had some stuff. We're like, what did we do with that? Where did we put those things? Like the house or Connex ate them up. Don't know where they went.
Yeah. So where do you see we're going from here?
St. Paul.
Especially if there's no crabbing. Isn't crabbing going to be closed another couple more years yet?
Probably, huh? Yeah.
Weren't they predicting like 5 years?
I don't know.
We already
did
two now.
I never even heard any of those predictions. I feel like it's not like it's a new thing. We've done this before. Like when you think of the end of when they had pelagic sealing, and when Henry Elliot fought to fix it, they had sealing stop on the Pribilofs from 1911 to like 1917 or something like that, 1916, maybe a little later even, 1919.
But wasn't that under government?
That was under government.
But they still took care of the islands.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Here it's a little different. We're more on our own and almost like no income coming in.
I don't know if people will, if we have folks that, I don't know if tourism is the way, if it's going to be a combination of things or if it would even work to have different things, start to package things differently. I mean, we grew accustomed to big
industries. And the last 5 years, it's all the younger people that are leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. Phil was for this SEDS stuff that was happening. He was did a little tally of age groups. I don't remember what it is, but he had a percentage of how much are over this age or under this age.
Northwest Passage is big talk, you know. Be like along the trading route from Europe.
I know, I would say that too. If they ever open up a harbor outside of Nome, I'll apply for it. Because they'll be just like here, just a traffic controller. Because that's what I always consider ourselves. We're just traffic control. We're not, you know, like other ports. Boats come and stay.
Yeah.
We just move them, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what that's going to be.
Yeah.
They're going to have so much traffic, you have to monitor going through the Bering Strait, that's why, because they're huge vessels.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say no one's going to do that better than me. Mm-hmm. I want to do that. But I can't believe why can't they use ADAC instead?
Yeah.
ADAC would have been a better choice because of the amount of traffic. You would have them coming up to ADAC and then them going up to Nome, so your traffic up there would be smoother.
Mm.
If you make it by Nome, it's going to get congested.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put it farther away, the port to control it,
they'll
control that Bering Strait better. I would believe that.
Yeah. Yep, we'll see.
Because Coast Guard said the last 5 years I was working, the amount of traffic that comes through Alaska waters, it's a lot.
Mm.
And they don't do anything with Alaska. They just go through to get out of the Gulf, too. Mm-hmm. That's why.
I wonder what kind of traffic would be through the passage. Yeah.
Because it sounds like the Pacific side of the Aleutian Chain is harsher weather than the Bering side, so the boats come through mm-hmm. False Pass and go above the chain and then go back when they're going toward, you know.
The Gulf?
No, going to, you know, Russia or China. Because they don't go straight across the Pacific because of storms.
Yeah.
So they go along the coast, go through Alaska and then go back down that way.
Yep. That's why the on the Umnak Island, the south side had more driftwood. People go there to get driftwood on the Pacific side and bring it back to Nikolsky. Not much driftwood on the Bering Sea side of the island.
Funny, yeah. Here we get lots here.
Yeah. It's like moving. Yeah. Yep. Geez, thank you. Good to visit.
Yeah.
Felt like we should have sandwiches or something.
I hope this is what you're kind of looking for.
It is. Yeah. More than. Yeah. Initially when I talked about it really started, we were doing another project with in Unangah. But when we applied for the money, Roman was still living here, Mary Lou was still living here, so we listed how many people we could try to get to speak in the language for more than just a sentence, because everything we were doing before was short sentences to make lessons. And we wanted a paragraph or story. And then people passed. And Garrett started up with us that fall. And we were having a tough time. Greg would be saying, I already gave everything to you guys. I'm done. And we started talking about the boats, and it's like, you know, maybe we need to, there's people here that remember working in the processing plant, and that's when we got everybody here to visit and videoed it. And so I said, maybe we need to do a different type of project in English, and people living here telling about their lifetime of living here, however long it's been. And then I was looking at the stuff I have listed here is everything from decommissioning First Seal Byproducts plant up to public safety officers back to VPSOs. So just different things, Loran station shut down, Ocean Clipper. So I have this here just if I need to look at it with people that I'm visiting with to talk about those things. But we were thinking, now we need to talk about the halibut fishery. So you gave a lot of that information from how it started earlier on, because it's not being told and it's not put together for someone to be able to tell the story, and especially for our young people that are from here or still living here to be the ones telling the story. So it's like, let's try apply for funding to we call them Island Times visits. So, what were the Island Times while you've been living here?
And yeah, I only gave up fishing because they wouldn't let me use my annual leave for, if I had 2 months annual leave, that's all I tried to take off for fishing. But they were saying, no, they started forcing us off to stay off 5 months. I said, no, I don't want to do that, because it'll hurt my retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, I'll give up fishing. I'll stay at work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, balance between the two.
Yeah, work. The work career I put with government, TDX, and city all added up to 41 years. working.
When Dad became a priest, I think he had 21 or 22 years with the government, and I still have it. He said, all I got was this pin.
Yeah, barely could read them, huh?
Yeah, a really small little pin.
Yeah, we always look at my dad's. He's got three of them. We always say, how are you supposed to see that? I get a big magnifying glass to read it.
Tiny.
A little ridiculous, yeah. Tiny. Well, you shouldn't feel bad. I got nothing.
And they told him when he was quitting, too, he's like, they said, Mike, you're going to quit a secure job here with the government and go to nothing when he was going to be a priest.
So were you here for that October 28th government phase-out parade?
Yeah. I don't remember that much. I was working in the school, and part of me thinks my kids were little, and when you're busy with parenting, it's like, at that point, Damien was one. So I feel like my being a mom with little kids trumped knowing what the heck was happening out in the community at the time.
Light snow on the ground. Yeah, they had parade around town.
Yeah. Vehicles. Yeah. They had, I don't know if it was that same day or at least sometime in that week, they had a big potluck at the school. In the gym, and I remember Mike Zaharoff in a rocking chair acting like, he called himself Grandpa Guzna, talking about the history of the government being here. There was a lot of food. Yeah, that was a good gathering.
Even in St. George, they had the parade the same day, too.
Yeah. Yep, government pullout. Mm-hmm.